I would have liked to stay with you longer, but I find consolation in the words of Jesus. He tells us, the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all I have said to you. The Father sends His Spirit of truth and love into the world, and the Spirit guides us in the ways of peace. Therefore, do not let your hearts be troubled or afraid. Dear brothers and sisters, the Holy Spirit is with you.
Welcome to The Holy Spirit Is With You, hosted by Kathleen McCarthy of In His Sign Catholic Radio. Empowered by the Holy Spirit, bringing the fire of God's love to the world.
Well, hello there. As you saw, I literally just walked in and given Frank here a little apoplexy. 20 seconds, he said. So here I am. And I don't usually show up in a sweatshirt. However, before I got here, I was, each year I go over to something called a Hopeathon, where my grandchildren go to school, and one of them graduated from there. And this is a beautiful high school for girls, Villa Jo Marie, and I just honored every year to ask me to come and speak, and it was a real blessing this year because Maria Middleton, who was instrumental with this team that started Hopeathon, her whole message of her life and her death was hope. Whatever was going on in Maria's life, she never, ever, ever lost hope. And I walk with her, talk with her, walked the whole final row with her, knew her from the time she was a kid. She was one of my, they were family friends, and Maria shares the same birthday as my granddaughter, Anna, who is September 10th, who her and Maria were best friends. So each year, obviously, Maria was not present to graduate, but the girls hold her close in their hearts and the teachers hold her close in their hearts. And so every year I come and I speak to these young girls that love the Lord. And, today I just told them that all of us have crosses, and Maria's passionate cry looked me right in the eye one day, and we had a long talk, and she said, "Well, then Kathleen, I will lift this cross high." And she did. She cross was ever before her. And she was, I called her my little vessel of grace. And that sort of stuck with her. And all those that know her now also refer to her as the little vessel of grace. Of course, Our Lady is the vessel of grace. And at any rate, I had the privilege this year of having my granddaughter, Madeline, who talked first about Maria, and she gave an absolutely beautiful, right on the money presentation in regards to Maria. She just did a beautiful job. Got all choked up, but she went right through. So I just want to praise and thank God for each of you and the beautiful gift and call you are in my own life. And I have my sidekick here with me today. Let me get him on. Father, are you there?
I'm here. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. We're together.
You're walking me. We're together. What do they say? Wherever we go. Whatever we do. We're going to do it together.
That's right. We're going to take our singing road on the road. Go ahead.
No, you just brought me into some beautiful memories, with Maria Middleton's story and the hope. And I think that's the whole anchoring theme behind her entire suffering and journey was that.
Absolutely.
Hope against all hope, yeah. Yeah, that's wonderful.
So, wonderful. And really, when you think about Mass or the Gospel today, how the Lord told us, each of us in his holy word, that he loved his disciples to the end. And we pray that he might continue to be pleased and love each one of us who endures to the end, loving him, that he will one day say to all of us, "Well done, good and faithful servant." And so I just want to praise and thank God for you, Father. I want to praise and thank God for the amazing retreat we did up in Boston. And a powerful retreat. And it was, what shall I say, bore much, much fruit. And so once again, as the two of us came together, it was just an amazing weekend, according to all the people. And so I was blessed. I know you were blessed. And I'll never forget all that especially the witnessing that took place after, and the power of the healing service, Jesus walking among his people. And the word walking right along, too, because it was falling in the hearts of the people as Jesus walked among them when you were carrying him in the, you weren't carrying him in the monstrance. I was just going to say, but you talk about...
A small version of it.
Yeah, but you talk about up close and personal, more appropriate was that he was, that you could touch without, just a Luna, without being in the monstrance. How beautiful.
Oh, yeah. And, you mentioned the word and you mentioned his presence and falling into the heart. There was an intensity and an urgency or an intensity of the word that was really brought forth.
Mm.
And there was a great openness to receive it. So as it went into the hearts, it went into the hearts deep.
Yes,
it really was very special. It was a very, very, very beautiful, beautiful weekend.
I know for myself, when I came down, you came over to get me and walk me out, but that was a word I absolutely could think of, not a better word to use. I just kept saying over and over again, the word was so intense. It was so powerful and authoritative, and the best word I could use was intense. So I agree 100%. Not only walked among his people, touching them with his presence, but he touched their hearts with his word as well. So it was beautiful.
Yeah.
You want to share?
Today we are celebrating the feast of St. Mark the Evangelist. And what an appropriate time to talk about that word and the spreading of the word and really becoming his evangelizers in these most urgent and intense times, So would you like me to open up with
Please.
The gospel today?
Please.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Mark.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus appeared to the 11 and said to them, "Go into the whole world and proclaim the gospel to every creature. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. Whoever does not believe will be condemned. These signs will accompany those who believe. In my name, they will drive out demons. They will speak new languages. They will pick up serpents with their hands, and if they drink any deadly thing, it will not harm them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. Then the Lord Jesus, after he spoke to them, was taken up into heaven and took his seat at the right hand of God. But they went forth and preached everywhere, while the Lord worked with them and confirmed the word through the accompanying signs. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. So you want to open that up and we can start to unpack that?
Sure. So Mark, as we know, Saint Mark, was not one of the 12 apostles. Now, I just would like Kathleen to preface this before I open
yes.
up this particular gospel. Mark, however, now in Jesus' time, most of the cast of characters, a good chunk of them, were relatives or friends. Many of them knew one another from one area of the country to the other. Mark, tradition has it, was a fairly wealthy, came from a fairly wealthy family that was one of the great benefactors to helping Jesus and thereafter the apostles make the mission a reality. Tradition also has it that his family owned the upper room. Tradition also has it that he might have been the guy who ran in the garden. In any case, because of those traditions that they hold, he was behind the scenes from the beginning. So he was able to, as the evangelist, who wasn't a chosen apostle, he was able to put his testimony, his witness, down on paper, not from a third party, but from his actual eyes, his actual eyewitness. And Mark is the gospel that was the first to be penned. It's also the shortest. It was meant for an audience of Jewish people, and it's that gospel that's fast moving. It's all about the action. Make the word come to life. Jesus moving. He's teaching, he's preaching, he's healing and stuff. So this is the beauty of and the background of what we're dealing with here. So today the church celebrates his presence because he's one of the four major evangelists of the Gospels. He's one of the three chosen of the Synoptic. So we have Matthew, Mark, Luke of the Synoptic Gospels, and John, which was the last one written. And he has his own mark in history. This Gospel passage now is at the end. And it's taken from the appearance to the 11, because Jude hadn't been chosen at this point. And this is on the mountain, just before the ascension, where Jesus gives them the mandate to proclaim the gospel, the good news to the whole world, where there is a promise that there'd be a promise that believers will be able to work mighty works, mighty wonders. And he marks them down here. He says they'll be able to expel evil spirits. You'll start seeing them speak in strange tongues. They'll be protected from all harmful elements. And they'll be able, through the power of the Spirit, to bring healing to the sick. So it's like it's kind of like the ending of the ascension, but at the same time, the commissioning, the great commissioning, when Jesus is coming back to his Father in glory, just before he breathes the Holy Spirit on them. So Mark kind of spells it out, Kathleen, by giving the listener, the Christian listener, a challenge to follow Christ. Not just these things will just happen, but it'll happen to those who believe. And the key here is those who believe. The last 16 chapters, he makes it very clear how Jesus wanted his mission to go. You're either with him or you're not. And as he says in this one, if you're not going to believe, And if you refuse, you'll condemn yourself.
Mm-hmm.
But whoever believes will and is baptized will be saved. And then he says, and then there will be signs to accompany the believers. So signs and wonders are only a manifestation or a fruit of belief. One must believe first.
Mm.
And this is the key for us to always know who are we believing in and what is it that the message of the good news speaks to us about. So today, Mark kind of leaves us hanging, but I think if you go further into the first reading, it's kind of spelled out even better. So Jesus always told us, be meek, be humble. And Peter talked today about being humble. Be alert as to what's happening and remain steadfast in faith throughout your trials and, you know, the persecutions in life. And then some. So if we believe as Christians that we have been saved, if we can place not only from our hearts, but to place on our lips and truly proclaim that Jesus Christ is my Lord, is the Lord of heaven and earth, is the King of kings, that proclamation alone is a saving grace. And people that are so far away from God, that have turned away from God, that might be practicing in the occult or the witchcraft, find that phrase very difficult. So, but when you do find it difficult, he's going to hold back. But the more we enter in and surrender to him, the more we believe and say, Lord Jesus, I need you, the more he's going to work through us and enter in us and make mighty things happen through us. And we have seen this witnessed just in the readings alone right after the Easter.
Yes.
First reading every day after Easter is the Acts of the Apostles. The Acts that took place, they were acts of the Holy Spirit, you know, the Spirit working within them. And suddenly, these men, they were frightened, kind of locked up in the upper room. They were afraid that they would be arrested and caught. Are now not only holy boldness, walking courageously down the street, but the same authorities to whom they were afraid of, they are face-to-face with them, proclaiming that Jesus is Lord and that they would now die for it, that they were willing to put their life on the line for it. And then we saw all the mighty things happening, but between the angels opening up prisons to let them out, or Peter or Paul laying hands on the sick, and the lame were walking, the dead were rising to new life, all these mighty things happening so that the believer could see. And then it was like a domino effect.
Mm.
Now, I place that here, you know, leading up to 2,000 years later. It happened 2,000 years ago in that domino effect. The more people were truly, truly making that proclamation, the more he wanted to spread his good news, the more he was allowing these signs and wonders to wake and shake up the conscience of humanity. And now we come to 2024, where things are getting darker and rougher and people are confused. Don't kid yourself. This is the moment where the believers will be used more. This is the Great Commissioning on a whole new level. They'll be used more to go out there to proclaim his truth, where mighty works will be seen more frequently in order to wake up those who are asleep, those who don't yet know who Jesus is, don't yet know his love, and for those who have rejected. He's going to really get out there because he doesn't want any of us to be lost. So he's going to really stretch and use we the believers more to be his hands, his feet in extraordinary ways.
Yeah.
So this beautiful reading as gospel passage today is kind of a foretaste of what's happening in 2 weeks from now when we come into the Ascension, 40 days after Easter, next week actually, I think it is. And it's the same thing. At the Ascension, he commissioned them. Now that you have everything, wait for the Spirit, and when that Spirit wakes, it enters into you for the sake of souls, for the sake of the salvation of souls, go out there, step into grace. I'm commissioning you, and to bless and baptize and to preach in my name and in the Trinitarian name, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
But see you, my friend.
Well, I like what you said, step into grace. You know, that's my whole thing. So
I know, that's why I use it.
I know, that's why I said I'm smiling. Something else, too, I think you're just the way you so beautifully shared about Mark, where he was and where he came to be. It's really pretty much our story, all of our stories in a way. And because we, too, as believers, when we first came to really know and love and be drawn to that beautiful Sacred Heart of Jesus who loves us so much, who had his heart pierced for us, and the beautiful symbol of the blood and water is a beautiful symbol of the church being born. When you think about it, for us, I'll say for me and a lot of other people, we didn't just one day show up to be a people who really and truly, you know, could exercise, you know, the power and wield the power and the authority of Jesus Christ. It was learning from the Master, just like his apostles. I mean, they were a motley crew if there ever was one. And they weren't ready. They were not ready just to go out there and be trusted to go and lay their hands upon the sick and raise the dead and cure illnesses and preach the way. They weren't ready. And he spent time with them, and they walked with them, and they talked with them, and they sat in quiet time with them when the multitudes and the crowds were not all around him, where he told them things that couldn't even be contained, the Lord told us in the scriptures. There wouldn't be enough buildings to hold all the books of the things that he said and did when he walked upon the earth. And I think a lot of that is the things that he said in quiet, in private, to his besties, to his group, to his followers on the way. And he did something that no Lord of Lords and King of Kings would ever do or would even pretend that they wanted to. You know, kings and lords, they would never raise up disciples or raise up people in their kingdom to do anything other than to serve them. But Jesus went another step, didn't he, with his apostles and with his disciples? He went a step further. He wanted them to spend time with him. He wanted them, and that's a tradition even today of rabbis. Their students walk with them. They sit with them. They follow him and learn what he's doing and watch what he's doing so that they too can become a rabbi. They too can learn from watching him and hearing him. And this is what this rabbi did, Jesus, the Master, the Savior, Savior of the world. He taught his disciples and he produced disciples, he produced the apostles, and he trained them himself. He said, I will come myself. Isn't that amazing? I'll come myself to save you. And he trained them. He loved them from brokenness into wholeness. From the motley crew to the most courageous people that were beaten, they all were willing to lay down their lives for him, and most of them did. And they went from cowards to courage. And isn't that true with some of us? I'll speak for myself. I wouldn't be out, you know, go back, in the beginning of my walk, I wouldn't be out there raising my hands upon the sick and listening in the depth and the quiet of my heart for the word of God to rise up within me and to speak it forth with power and authority. I could never have done that. I can do it now. Because all these years and all this time that I have spent with him, I've been watching, I've been listening, I've been stepping into grace. I've been hearing him. You know yourself, Father, when you first, you had no idea you were even going to be a priest, right? You mm-hmm. were in love with Kathleen, not this Kathleen, but you were in love with a girl named Kathleen, and, you know, you thought you were going to eventually wind up married. But you got that deep moving of the Spirit of God within you. And he was calling you, Dermot, I have more for you. Dermot, I'm calling you to be my priest. And I know for a fact it was really Our Lady that called you. And so for all of us, we're on a journey. But God wants to produce people like his son Jesus. And so he had Jesus come among us, walk with us, talk with us in the flesh. And the Holy Spirit had the scriptures written through the apostles and disciples, because he tells us, as the Father sends me. I love that. As the Father sends me, not be like me. He says, as the Father sends me, so I send you. And as the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. So he's telling us that we lack nothing, that we have everything. And these signs and these wonders and these miracles, we do not have to go running around to every person or every place or every situation to figure, is this person going to heal? Is that person going to heal? Only God can heal. And he raises up disciples. He raises up apostles for these days and these times to be formed and fashioned in the power of his word to indeed go out and to perform miracles in Jesus' name, to speak with his authority. He said, I give you my full authority. Isn't that what he told us in the scriptures? I give you my authority. As the Father sent me, I'm sending you. And, you know, up until the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit came, we have that from baptism. They didn't. The apostles didn't. They hadn't experienced the pouring of the Holy Spirit yet. So I really and truly say that, you know, they had their own strong wills. We've seen them come up time and time again, and the Lord had to set them straight. Because, as I often say, they wanted to be his advisors. Oh, Gippy, don't do that. Oh, Lord, don't say that. And really, God had to tell Peter to get behind him. So they learned by spending time with Jesus, by watching what he did. We can do that in this day, in this age, by reading his holy word, by being just ensconced in the word of God. Through the beautiful gift of the bread of life, we can walk with him, we can talk with him. He feeds us, he nourishes us, so that we can become what we receive. And we then, in our nothingness, who could heal nobody, he gives us those gifts, his gifts. They're in us, but they're not of us, as I always say. And so we are called to be Christ givers on this earth. And that's what this gospel is about. He wants us to, you know, walk with him, talk with him, study with him, learn what he did and what he said, and the power and the anointing of the Spirit, so that each one of us baptized, filled with the Holy Spirit, strengthened with the Holy Spirit through confirmation, that we too, like the apostles and disciples, they wanted to be his advisors, but he didn't need that. He didn't want them to, he didn't need an advisor. He doesn't need them today either. But what he does need is for you and I to be willing to decrease so he can increase. And if we believe in him that he can do all things, then he will send you out. He'll send me out. He'll send all those out. And he'll send Father out with a special anointing, with a special gift to be other Christ for those who come for healing in the confessional, who come to eat his body and blood as the priest performs that magnificent gift of transubstantiation. Only the hands of the priest can bring Jesus truly physical present. So we are fully equipped, and are we ready to go? I'm gonna let you think about that. Are you ready to go? Do you believe you can do all that God has called you to do? Think about it. We'll be right back.
You're listening to In His Sign Catholic Radio, empowered by the Holy Spirit, bringing the fire of God's love to the world. We are blessed to have had this Catholic radio apostolate for almost 40 years now. Thanks be to God for your partnership. Without you, this radio voice would be silenced. We have a monthly Mass offered for you, our loyal family of listeners. It's our way of saying thank you for underpinning our apostolate with your many prayers and financial support. This is your radio ministry, to be a voice for those who have no voice, to evangelize and to catechize for a time such as this. We know the Lord will bless you abundantly. He can never be outdone in generosity. If this ministry has touched your heart, help us to touch other hearts by supporting us with your prayers and financial support. Call us at 610-527-2906. Or visit our website at inhissign.com.
Well, we're back again, and I'm always blessed when my sidekick is with me here. And I just praise and thank God for the gift of priesthood. And we can never forget that they're really configured to be his voice, his feet, his hands, for all of us to bring God's healing presence to us. But nevertheless, he has given the laity the full gift of his Holy Spirit, and you too, each and every one of you. My heart rejoices, like Jesus, who told all his people, all his disciples, apostles, that as the Father sends me, so I send you, and he sends you. As the Father has loved me, so he loves you. He produced other people to carry out his message of redemption, of healing. And that's what we're called to do, all of us. We are called to be the Bible in action. The living word being manifest in the mystical body of Christ. So, Father, you want to take it?
Yeah, thank you. I want to tell you a story. It's a story that I thoroughly enjoyed, but as I was driving back from Massachusetts, it started to really resonate with me. So I left on Tuesday. Actually, I left on Tuesday on my way down to New Jersey, and I was with one of our fathers, Father Habib.
Oh, yeah.
Habib comes from a French-speaking country. He came to the United States in October of this past year, first time ever, and he's a sponge. Like, he wants to do the right thing, so he observes and he follows, and he asks lots of questions. And I see within him a real humility to understand he's been entrusted. He's been asked to come on an assignment here. He doesn't see it as a privilege, but he sees it as a tremendous gift from God. So he says, if I have to give back, I really have to know what's going on. So he tells me, we're driving down 84, and he says, "Hey, I got to tell you what I preached on this past weekend for the Good Shepherd." And I says, "Yeah, go ahead." He says, "Well, I told everybody in the church." I says, "You know Father Roach?" And they all said, "Yeah, we know Father Roach." "Well, when I first came to the country, Father invited me and all the other priests in the house, and we went out to the restaurant for a dinner. And he says, I'm looking at this gigantic menu." He says, "I was confused." And he says, "There was just so many choices. So Father helped me to find the right meal. And then when the waiter came along, he said, 'Would you like a soup or salad?'" And Habib said, "Yes." And the waiter, he's telling this to the congregation. And the waiter said, "Well, would you like a soup or a salad?" And he goes, "Yes." And the second time, I realized, oh, and I said, "Habib, would you like a soup or salad?" And he says, "What?" I said, "Soup or salad?" "Oh," he says, "I'll take the latter." And he said, "What I was hearing, the voice was, 'Would you like a soup or salad?'" So he says, "Yeah, I'll take a soup or salad." He says, "I was hungry." But what he led to say was to the people, "You know, if I didn't know the voice of Dermot being there every day to make the distinction between soup or salad, I would have heard it differently." And he says, "You really need to be," he says, "I'm with him all the time. I shadow him in everything that we do. He mentors me in everything that we do." And he says, "And this is the way you need to be for the Lord. If he's your good shepherd, you want to hear his voice," he says, "you have to know if it's soup or salad." So, but then on the way down, I began to think more, because we had a good laugh about it. And this applies even to what we're saying today. You want to really, and here's, God bless Habib, he wants to do the right thing. He really knows he has the gifts within him. But if the gifts want to be used to the fullest, he wants to do it in the right manner. Mm. So the Lord today in his commissioning is saying, go out, but you don't just go out haphazardly. You go out connected to him.
Amen.
You go out in communion with him, saying, as you just mentioned a few minutes ago beautifully, it's not me who does the work, but I do it in his name.
Amen.
In his name. Because it's, you mentioned the laity, so I'm speaking on behalf of the priests and religious. It is not isolated to the priests or religious, but by virtue of our baptism, it is the duty of all of us to evangelize. Because, and it's not just, it's a responsibility on all sides. And in order for us to do it, we must know him and be with him constantly. Because all of those other gifts that come, we know the Catholic Church is a church of healing, and it's the task, one of the first tasks of the church anyway, is to heal the heart, the mind, the spirit, and because they're all effects of salvation, those healings. And if there's disharmony in that, you know, we want to correct that. But again, all of those aspects of healing, it's both by word and sacrament. The priest has the ability to do so much, but then so do you. You have it in the actions of charity, in the actions of prayer, in the actions of intercessory power, to bring those effects of salvation to other people. And that's where I go back to Habib's link there about the soup or salad, or as he called it, super salad, makes all the difference in the world.
Yeah.
If we can't hear what's going on, if we're not paying attention, if we're not linked, then to proclaim the good news becomes fragmented. It becomes misinformation, or
right,
poorly catechized. And we've gone through an entire generation and a half already of poorly catechized people across the Western world in the church, because there was less emphasis put on the Eucharistic presence of the Lord. There was less emphasis put on the union with the Holy Spirit. And now that all of that is being restored in this new revival, we're going to beautifully see more and more people using the gifts properly, whether in the state of laity or religious, to do mighty things in His name,
yeah,
and to do mighty works in His name, because they will be completely connected to Him in a totally different level, both sacramentally in the Word and in spirit. Mm-hmm. And then, I mean, I'm seeing it as an image. It's beginning to take root and bubble up.
Yeah.
I can only imagine when the cascade begins to flow.
I love that song, I Can Only Imagine.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, Father, I'm looking at our chats here. Trisha, thanks. She writes, my favorite duo. What does your beautiful sweatshirt say? I love the color. It actually says, God has this, and it's Hope-a-thon. And it's a little big, so I feel like I weigh 400 more pounds on top of what I am. But I do love it also. And God, that's the good news. Everything that we've been talking about is that God has this. Tina Kell, I hope you're wearing your sweatshirt, honey. I hope you're telling others that God does speak the loudest in the silence of His heart. She goes, I love tuning into this. My sweet Anita, let me see here. We're certainly on a journey. We are indeed. Pam saying she's covering and praying for somebody that apparently was put on in one of the chats. But Father, you know, I think that's why we saw such profound, I'll use the word profound and intense, moving of the Spirit this past weekend in Boston, so much so that I could think of no other word but intense. It's because the people, I guess the Lord felt the people really were so open, and He wanted to speak to their hearts so directly while He was walking among them, that He was so specific in the words that He sent forth. And I do think it's because they came to a point by the end of the retreat, they came to realize He alone is the healer of healers, and yet they must have also realized, unless He uses our hands, our feet, our voice, then that word that He wants to share to someone doesn't get out, and He goes to someone else that will be a more open vessel. And I think that's what we're seeing. He was speaking such powerful, people kept saying it was so authoritative. And and you showed me so beautifully something I didn't even realize myself all this time. At one point, I remember you telling me you yourself would sense when it was that authority that would come out, that even the cadence or the change of tone, and He was manifesting very powerfully as He walked among the people. They reached out to touch Him. Imagine you had. I don't know that I could stand up under this, but we have the Savior of the world placed in our tongue or in our hands to walk with Him that close, you know, truly present, truly alive, walking with Him out to his people, and hearing word and sacrament while you're walking with the sacrament. I mean, it's hard to wrap your mind around that the Savior of the world speaks to us so intimately, walks among us in power, in love, in gentleness, and meekness, reads our hearts, and he knows exactly what we need. Not what we want, mm-hmm. but what we need. Aren't you overcome sometimes? Sometimes I'm just overwhelmed that the living God allows us to walk with him and to talk with him and to reach out and touch him and for him to come over under our roof, and his blood washes our blood and sanctifies it. His body mixes with our skin and our body and our organs. It's an incredible thing. We'll probably never, no wonder he says, you'll never fully grasp the height or depth or width or depth of my love for you. It's amazing, isn't it?
When I carry the Blessed Sacrament like that, walking among the people, you have a choice. You can just say, I'm carrying it, and, some people say, it's just a wafer, if you will, in a monstrance. But I'm so attuned to everything that you just said is in my hand.
Yeah.
And, walking around a small chapel, a big auditorium, whatever it might be, every single person matters. And, with God, there's no space or time. He's out of that realm. But those few seconds, that half a minute of that personal contact with them, I can't even fathom. Mm-hmm. And it does take tremendous, tremendous strength and energy out of me. But I think part of that is an emotional component, because I am very, very attuned and aware of who I'm carrying, and it's beyond awesome.
Yeah,
it's mind-boggling, and you just say, "Oh my God!"
My Lord and my God, right there in your hands.
Yeah, what a privilege! What an awesome privilege! But now, Kathleen, from my perspective, and I don't often share this, so if those who are listening, when the prophetic word is happening, and I'm out walking among the people, so people express themselves to the Lord obviously very differently, because everybody's heart is unique, to the Lord. But I often find myself in Scripture, literally in Scripture. So I have a humeral veil on. Some are demonstrative, where they might just touch the humeral veil. Like, some are very demonstrative. They will put their face into the veil, or maybe they take the veil to an area maybe where there's a wound or something physical on their body. Others will go beyond and literally stretch up to reach out to him.
Hmm.
Oh, this is the Jesus we know. The Jesus, I could see him reaching down to them at the same time they're reaching up. I could see him saying, touch my veil, there is power coming out of me into you. My mind and my heart go into five different places at the same time. It's such a unique and special privilege to see this one-on-one. It's just beyond description, beyond words.
Yeah, the greatest sign and wonder right there.
Yeah. I mean, right there, when you think about it, each and every person, in a very special and unique way, is at the ultimate moment. Like, you don't need to do anything for the rest of the night. Jesus has done it all.
Right.
He's done it all. But again, when people run over later on and, saying, they didn't feel a thing. The question is, it's not about feeling. It's not about laying hands. Do you believe that he was there? And do you believe that he touched you? And that's exactly what he says in this gospel today. If you believe, more will be given.
That's right. And more, when we think of that, what is more for God? It's more of everything. It's more of him. And he's everything. He's our all in all. He is our everything. No one will ever, not the greatest husband in the world, the greatest wife in the world, the greatest children in the world. No one will ever love us as he loves us. No one would ever love us as intensely and perfectly, completely, and unconditionally like Jesus does. No one. And when I stop and think of that, I have such a sense of that. I have such a, I can't even put it into the English language. I have such a great sense that nobody could ever love me like he loved me. Nobody could ever fulfill my deepest recesses of my heart, my soul. He's my all in all. But the good news is for all of us, we're his all in all. And he wants us to be like him. He wants us to become more and more and more like him. That's his goal. It's not like a king doesn't want his, what do they call them? I can't even think of the word I'm talking about. The not members, but of the kingdom. They're really peons to him. But our God's different. Our God says, Tina, come closer. Anita, I want to heal your heart. I want to let you know that I'm so pleased with you. Trisha, I'm so overjoyed that you are going out and you're decreasing so I can increase within you. Jim, I've called you by name and you say, here I am, Lord. All of us, this is who he's talking to. He wants us to go out. He wants us to be all of the things that he is in his own humanity when he walked the earth. He wants us to do what he did. He wants us to speak as he spoke. That's why he said he wants to learn. And what did he tell us in his humanity? I only say what I hear my Father saying. Think of that. Even Jesus in his humanity, remember that hypostatic union, he's fully God, but he was, when he walked on the earth, he was fully man. And that's what he said. He wants us to be like that. He wants us to speak as we hear him speaking, not only in the silence of our hearts, but when we read his holy word, we get to know him. We get to fall in love with him because we're spending time with him in his word. We can literally go for a walk with Jesus. I'm telling you from the depth of my being, I walk with him, talk with him. I sit down and share the deepest recesses of my heart with him, and he gives me wisdom and knowledge and understanding because he wants to be all of him in us. He wants us to really decrease so that he can increase within us. But he wants that for all of us. He wants to tell each of us things, that, and he says in Scripture, things far beyond our own knowledge. He wants to enlighten our minds and our understanding. He wants to literally renew us by the transformation of our minds. He wants to heal us, renew us, and love us into wholeness. Nobody else can do that. And love us into wholeness. Nobody else can love us unconditionally, but he can. Go ahead, Father.
Indeed, he can. I'm thinking of Paul's address, I think it's to the Philippians, where he says, our Lord will transform our humble body that it may be conformed to the body of his glory, you know?
Yeah.
And only he can do that.
Yes.
Only he can do it. But he needs our time and our yes. But like we also need to know that we don't do this alone.
Right, it's all him.
It's all him. And he says, you know, I'm just thinking of this ascension reading and the readings that will come up. I'm with you always. Mm. To the end of the world, to the end of the age. That's his promise.
Yeah.
And you were just saying how you might be sitting down, having a cup of tea, or taking a walk, or whatever it might be, and you're talking to him.
Yeah.
And you ask him for wisdom, he's giving you wisdom. It's like you're utilizing every moment of the day in all consciousness, knowing he's there. And that was the point of him coming, Emmanuel, God with us.
Yeah.
And now his spirit is still with us, and he continues to work with and through all of us. And it can be found in each and every one of us if we allow him to work his work in us.
Yeah.
Stop being the control person on it, you know, and just allow him to do the rest. Because this commissioning today, and I know traditionally at the end of all of your retreats, you also commission.
Yeah.
At the end of every single Mass, we are commissioned. I mean, I think people, you know, go in the peace of Christ. That's not just to go and have a nice day. It's to go out and preach the good news. It's to go out and baptize and proclaim his name. So at every given moment, we're being commissioned, and it's him willing to work through us if we say, Lord, be with us, Emmanuel, be with us.
Amen.
It's like he will be with us and we will be his God, that recognition that I know who you are and you know who I am. And that's really very important, you know, because that's his call to us in that commissioning. And that final commissioning should also be noted with Matthew chapter 25, that everything that we do, say, pray, think, in the name of Jesus should be done not only in him and allowing him to do, but to see among each and every one of them, that for the least that you, what you do to the least of my brothers and sisters, you did it to me. Because at the end of the day, Kathleen, no matter which angle you lay it down, it's never about us.
Never.
It's everywhere you look, backwards and forwards, all eyes, all signs, all directions point to him.
Amen.
My Alpha, my Omega. My beginning, my end.
My everything.
My everything. My all.
Well, I can't believe it. I'm sure you can't either now that I'm going to tell you. We only have a minute and a half left. That is the fastest hour. You always say it. I'm inclined to agree.
Let me give a blessing and sign off here because it's just amazing an amazing hour. Heavenly Father, we come to you today to give you thanks for the gift of your word and sacrament and your presence in our lives. Help us to step out into grace, to be open to receive, and to be open to be that vessel that you have called us to be. As we have been commissioned, let us do it in your name for the salvation of all souls. Bless our families, bless our intentions, and most especially, bless the work of this great apostolate, which continues to be a voice for the voiceless and the proclamation of the good news. And may the blessings of the Almighty and merciful God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit remain with you now and forevermore. Amen.
And say a special prayer, please. It's Mark and Ryan Marie's 16th wedding anniversary. And I'm looking at them. They just sent me a picture, and honestly, she looks like she could be one of her kids, one of his kids. He says it all the time, so I can say it. Anyway, I want to thank everybody for all the work they did for Mark and for the campaign. And when in the populace, vote wasn't enough. But all the mail-ins that they read later, it was 2-1 for Fitzpatrick. So I want to thank all of you who really gave your best, and that's all we can do. As I said to Mark, you gave God your yes, you and Ryan Marie did your best, and God will do the rest. And I believe that with all my heart and soul. Father, I praise and thank God for the well, for our friendship for sure, but I praise and thank God for the gift of priesthood. And as you stand in for all your brother priests, may you continue to be a voice and a presence of the Savior Jesus to all those that God will bring to you, new priest, older priest, the priest that you come in contact with. May they come to see in you the Spirit of the living God, living and moving powerfully. God bless you, Father.
Amen. God bless you all. Amen. Thank
Amen.
You.
Well, my brothers and sisters, here we are at the end of an hour. I would ask you to please stay tuned. You have another hour coming up with my dear friend, Dr. Raimondo, and I'm sure he'll tell a story today, but he's a dear friend of mine, and I knew when I called him and asked him would he be interested in and being part of the radio minister, and then finally would he be open to taking his own program, because I've been trying to retire for a long time. And when I know somebody has a gift, I invite them in, and I see that gift, and I have seen that gift in Anton from the time we first met, before he ever, ever thought that he would actually be doing what I do. And I prophesied that to him one day, and he maybe someday I'll tell you about it, but he's a beautiful gift. So Dr. Anton Raimondo, carry on, and may God bless you from your head to your toes, and may you receive his full and complete healing, Anton. God bless you.